Okay, welcome to Business 123, Spring 2004. We've already gone through a little bit of the syllabus, but you could go through the rest on the, there's a commentary on the website for those of you following along and your computers. Okay, so this will be on the website by the end of today, usually barring technical difficulties. Now, you can use the 4th, the 5th, or the 6th edition. They require us to have a book that's at least 5 years young, not more than 5 years. Why? Because the publishers must have bribed them, because they come out with a new edition every 2 years, whether they need to or not. This book really hasn't changed. You can even use the 3rd edition if you can find it, but I would use either the 4th, 5th, or 6th. On the website, which I'm going to show you, are links to places where you could buy it for $10. All right? So I know books are outrageously expensive. $200 if you buy the 6th edition, $10 if you buy the 4th or 5th edition. You can get it across the street. I forget, it's on the website how much it is. I don't think it's that much. So there's no reason. There's no reason why you can't get the book. Now, do you need the book? People ask me, do you need the book? I'm not allowed to tell you no. This is college. You have to have a textbook. But wait till you see the materials on the website and you decide whether you... By the way, there are two in the library that you can use on reserve. So you can go to the library, use them on reserve if you want to. And then you decide whether you need the book or not. It's actually not a bad book, but it's a little dry. You'll find yourself going to sleep. And that's okay. Sleep is good. Now, what else do you need? You need a notebook. I prefer that you bring something like this. Why? Because I'm going to give you copious handouts. You like that word, copious? It means a lot. Yeah, it means a lot. I'm going to give you a copious handout. And you're going to, I have a 3-ring binder, and you can put them in there and organize them. Because if you use something like this, I'm picking on you, I apologize, then what happens is people just, they all fall out and they can't keep them organized. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It's up to you. You need a calculator, not your cell phone, okay? Did you turn them off? Did you put them on vibrate? Turn darn things off, right? There's nothing that important. Now, if your car's going to have a baby or your sister needs a new transmission, sit over here, tell me, and if you pick it up and run out, I'll be okay. But it's when people go, oh, man, I want to pick up my phone because we're going to go somewhere. Turn it off. Now, you need dedication, organization, motivation, hard work, and jokes. Who's got a good joke? Anybody? See, some of the people are going to be able to answer these jokes. They're the same joke, same badges. Same ones, yeah.
I don't want to get my jokes off my phone.
You can't get your jokes off your phone. All right. So I tell you about this alligator walked into a bar. Have you heard this one before? The alligator. What? Do you want new jokes? I don't have any good jokes. So you got to bring good jokes, right? Or else you have to hear my bad jokes. So this alligator walks into a bar and orders a beer. And the bartender gives him his beer. And the alligator's drinking his beer. And the bartender looks at him and says, are you having troubles at home? Any problems with the wife? And the alligator says, no. And the bartender says, well, what about work? Any problems at work? And the alligator says, no. And the bartender says, why the long face? He's an alligator. they get worse, okay? They get worse. And I know you don't believe me that they get worse. And it's also, you can also use that joke with a horse, right? Can you use it with a horse? By the long face. Yeah. All right, so you're going to bring good jokes? Yeah, I have no choice. You got to bring, because they get, people can't believe me that they get worse. All right, now, attendance and lateness. Don't miss class, folks. Don't miss class. Yes, you can watch the presentations online. And if you're the kind of person who likes taking an online class, you have the self-discipline, contact me. We'll work something out. But don't come late to lecture. It's disrespectful. Make friends. You know, studying in groups has shown over and over again that that's the best way to study. Study together. And I know people don't like to do that, but it's a good idea. Now, attendance will not be graded in this class. I do that in the other class because it works better. And people say, I was absent that day. That's not an excuse, all right? That's a confession of guilt. So don't miss class, don't miss class, don't miss class. Now, grading. Do you all want to get A's? Yeah? Well, you can. You can get an A in this class. It is the material conceptually is not that difficult. There's a lot of it, and you have to study. But we are told that this is what the grade distribution should be. There should be a lot of C's and a few F's and a few A's, and then more B's and D's than F's or A's, but not as many as C's. That's called the normal distribution, which we'll actually use in this class. But what happens, and I'm not the only person who exhibits this, who has this, is we wind up with a lot of F's and D's, a few C's, and lots of B's and A's. So it's bimodal, if you will. So you got a lot of F's and D's and C's and B's and A's. Now, how could that be? Well, these are the people who come to class on time, do the assignments, go over their notes every day, because that's how you learn. Repetition, repetition. The lectures are recorded. The online lectures are recorded. You can watch them on your iPod. They're on iTunes. They're there. The material is there. The book is actually pretty good. It's a little boring, but it's good. And these are the people who don't come to class every day, do not show up remotely sober or relatively aware of their general surroundings, and for some reason are called away to Cabo San Lucas because their uncle had an ingrown toenail or something like that. And what happens to you if you are getting an F or a D? What happens? What do the counselors tell you to do?
Drop
the class because it will ruin up your financial aid. And so this is what happens. And they go, you got grade inflation. Like, I don't care. I don't care. I want everybody to get an A. If everybody gets an F, I'll click, 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 everybody got an F. Because there are certain standards that we have to show the world that, yes, you did this, you know this, you can do that. And I will make a deal with you. If every single person in this class gets an A, for the next 10 years, okay? Assuming I live that long, right? Assuming I live for the next 10 years. No deal? No, no, no. Next 10 years. Oh, you want to. You want. Well, that's the problem. After the class is over, how do I get you? I'll have to call up Anita. Short-term goal, right. Next 10 years, for every new person I meet, I say, hi, my name is Frank Paiano, and my business 123 class, spring 2014, all got A's. Is that a deal?
No.
No? You know a monetary value. How do you put a value on that? Okay. All right, whatever. All right, so if you study hard, if you do well, you're going to get an A. If you don't, if you show up, what? Monsters here, yes. Okay, now, time requirements. In general, most every college will tell you for every one unit, there's 2 hours outside of class. So three units, that's about 6 hours. And that's what students have told me they needed. Some have said, I only needed a half an hour a day. But every day, review the presentations. I can't tell you how many students go, well, I show up for class. That's not enough. Okay, it's not prison. You don't get credit for time served. You've got to do more. Now, there are some people. There are some people who, when you go through the presentation, boom, they got it. Cold, they can recite the whole thing back to you. But how many are like that? Maybe 5%? I'm certainly not like that. I have to study to learn things. So repetition is the key to learning. Some people are, I don't know what to call it, but they have the ability to just remember everything. But I'm not one of them, and probably you aren't either. So you need to be putting some time into this class. Accommodations. If you need accommodations, you know the drill. Contact me. Academic Success Center. We have tremendous resources. We want you to succeed, folks. We want you to succeed. The Tutorial Center. In fact, this I just learned this about 2 months ago. We are allowed to offer our office hour classes in the Tutorial Center. So I have... You'll see my office hours in a moment. I'm going to put in to do my office hour on Thursday afternoon at 2:30 in the Tutorial Center. So we'll see how that works out. I think that makes a whole lot of sense because a lot of times students don't come to my office hour and I get lonely and sad. Anyway, yes. And if you go to the Tutorial Center and you say, I got some math problems to do, and the math tutors say, sorry, we don't do business 123. You just say, look at the problems, all right? They're very simple. And they'll go, oh, yeah, this is pretty simple. Because they want to do algebra. We don't do algebra, folks. We do calculations, arithmetic. In fact, all you need, I tell you this All you need is a 99-cent calculator. You don't need exponentiation. You don't need to be able to launch the space shuttle, which can't be launched anymore. You don't even need, remember?
No.
Squirt. You don't even need squirt on your calculator.
Oh, squirt.
Yeah, you remember squirt. You don't even need that. Okay. So all you need is a 99-cent calculator. Squirt, yes, squirt. You got it. You got it. Okay, good. Okay. Now, how do you get in touch with me? My room is 210 F, right across the way. There's a big poster of Cesar Chavez, signed by Mr. Cesar Chavez. It's not mine, it's my office mate's. Tuesdays and Thursdays, again, 1:30. But I have the hour in between this class, between my noon class. And unless I have a meeting, I'll be happy to meet with you then. I'll be happy to meet with you beforehand. I will make an appointment with you, telephone interview, whatever. There's my office phone. There's my home phone. In case you really need to get in touch with me, please don't call after 8:30. And then there's the student learning objectives, which I made really, really tiny, but they want us to put on this syllabus. So I wasted some ink, but nobody cares about them except people sitting up in Sacramento who are as far away from the students as they should be. Now, how do you keep current with what's going on? What's the website? Indeed. Let's go here. If you don't, you see, our actual college website is the college website /tilde, and then our first name and our last, first initial and our last name. Well, nobody can spell my last name. They can't find the tilde on the keyboard, so people come and say, oh, I think your website down. No, it's not down. You just can't find it. So I spared no expense and bought wonderprofessor.com. So can you remember Wonder Woman? Can you remember Wonder Bread? Can you remember Wonder Professor, right? Now, the quick link is what you're interested in. There it is, Business 123. But there are some other things on here that may or may not be of use to you. There's the syllabus. Oh, actually, it's down a little further. This is interesting. Let's see if we can... No, let's leave it there. But there's our class. There's our class right there. And for the online classes, you'll see these little commentaries. Feel free to use them. Have you gone to whitemyprofessor.com? Yeah? I didn't want to go. I don't want to go. My office says, oh, you got it. I like you. So I put a link there. And then, of course, I started looking at other professors. I know. Oh, it's even worse than I thought. And then other people, oh, yeah, pretty cool. And you got to be careful because some students are, they're not happy about their grades. So, of course, it's the professor's fault. So check that out. And there's a few other cutesy things on here. But this is what you're interested in. Business 123. There's the class website. So some of the stuff is going to be for the online students. Doesn't mean you can't use it. The weekly announcements for the online students. There's your syllabus. Everything I give you, virtually everything I give you, is on the website. So if you miss a class, it's not an excuse. I was absent that day. It's not an excuse. It's all here. So here's the... There's the... Da-da-da-da. Come on. There's the syllabus. You understand? So everything I give you is on there. In fact, they don't want us to make copies anymore. They don't want us to... They want you to make the copies off of black and blue board or your website. So I think that's not... I think that's, they're not that expensive, folks. It's not that much money. And it's a waste of time for you not to have the darn thing. A lot of people won't have it. So questions on that? And look, here's the presentation that I'm doing right now. There's the PowerPoint. And here are the audio lectures and the audio visual lectures. Those are for the online students. But that doesn't mean you can't use them. You can use them. Plus, what you will see here below these will be the recorded lectures, assuming this thing doesn't stop working for me, which it seems to be working just fine. And I upload it, and by the end of the day, it should be there. All the handouts we're going to do, some other links, sometimes some things that we won't go over in class, but they're there for you to play with and the like. Questions, thoughts, ideas, comments? No? Here is the information about the textbook, the 6th edition, 5th, 4th. You can even use the 3rd, but I wouldn't. Otay Books has the 6th edition for $140, and they haven't priced the 4th edition. The textbook over in the library, in the college bookstore, I don't know how much they're asking.
$234
for the 6th edition. It's insane. You know who owns those books, don't you? You know who publishes those books? It's a company called McGraw-Hill. They're the same company that owns a lot of television stations, radio stations, and they also own Standard & Poor's. Now, who's Standard & Poor's? We will take a look at them in detail. You might have heard of the S&P 500. That's the same company. So, yeah. But if you go on Medusa.com or whatever it's called, Amazon, have Valore, you will find some pretty darn good deals. All right? So no excuses. Now, what's this? What's that?
Where?
Right there. Can you see it?
It's
the
link to the
video. The back button.
Oh, what? Back button.
Back. So you see what you're up against? I can't help it! It's a sickness! I can't help it. Well, did you want to see it again? Want to see it? Okay.
The whole time I did not know that.
You didn't understand it? That's the back button. Okay, so okay, well, at least you're forewarned, right? You're forewarned. All right, so back to the syllabus. Now, what do you do with the syllabus? You put it in the back of your folder and never look at it again, right? No. Look at the back. Look on the other side, and this is our outline. Did you get one? Okay. This is our course schedule. This is what we're going to do, and we normally follow it fairly well. There's some slop in there, because if we get behind, that's fine. I don't mind getting behind. I'm more interested in you actually learning. There's a few, very few things that we can agree upon, those of us who work in education, but one of them is how long the semester should be. And we don't even agree on that either. You'll notice that Southwestern still has the 18-week semesters. We are the last community college in San Diego County to still have 18-week semesters. And there are people on campus who would rather die than allow us to go to 17 weeks, like everybody else. But we finally, I don't know how we got it through, but our new president is actually pretty sharp. She's pretty good, and she realized that this is stupid. You got to be with the rest of the group, and you can't. And so she really was able to finagle it through. I helped too. I helped. And we have students who come here. I couldn't get my class at State. Can you have an opening? Sorry, we started 3 weeks ago. Oh, or 2 weeks ago. So forget that. That's going to be gone, but not until 2015 or so. I'm not sure. So you got the syllabus. You ready? You excited? No. Well, I hope so. Because we're going to get started. We're going to get started on Introduction to Investments. Now, anybody worried about college-level material, worried about being in college? Anybody? If you are, you don't have to answer me. Relax, folks. Relax. You'll find that, first of all, college is a whole lot less uptight. No one's going to yell at you. Right, no one's going to tell you to get out of the hall or go get your. No, it's not. There's no truant officer. And we start from the very beginning. Oh, thank you. So anybody want to go and get rich? Anybody want to go and get? You need a couple? Okay, here you go. Take one of those. Okay. Did you guys see this? $25,000 for you next month. Don't worry about spending $4,000. Yeah, both. BS. Yes, extras. Okay. Okay, because we are ready to start from the very beginning. We start from the very beginning. You do not need any... Where did it go? There it is. You don't need any prior investment experience to be in this class. You don't need to understand what stocks are, all the people in the talking heads who talk, oh, stocks are going up, stocks are going down, stocks are going sideways. What bonds are, what op derivatives. You're going to learn all that in this class because there's a tremendous amount of hype and hyperbole. I like that word, hyperbole. If I told you once, I told you a million times, don't use hyperbole. That's a joke. Because that's what hyperbole is when you... All right, so relax, breathe deeply. We're going to get started. But first we start with a perspective. And some of you have already seen this, so you'll know the answer. It is a gloomy moment in history. Never has the future seemed so dark and incalculable. The United States is beset with racial, industrial, and commercial chaos drifting we know not where. Of our troubles, no one can see the end. Did you watch Skunk News last night?
Nope.
What's it? Skunk? Weasel News. Fox News. Fox News. Did you see this on Fox News last night?
Mm-hmm.
When was this written? You remember? 2 weeks ago. Yeah. No, if you ask people, they'll usually say the Great Depression, World War II. No, it was actually 1847. Right before the country was about to tear itself apart over the peculiar institution. What a great name for slavery, right? Peculiar. It's peculiar. Did they have problems in 1847?
No.
Yeah, they did. Do we have problems in 2014?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we do. But equating serious problems, we have serious problems, folks. We're running out of water. Isn't that a problem? That's a problem. I had a friend who said, we're going to run out of water. I said, no, we're not. It's just going to get really, really expensive. Okay. Do we have serious problems now? Yes. But equating serious with fatal has been wrong since the beginning of our recorded history. Does it mean that tomorrow the whole thing won't fall apart? No. It doesn't mean that. The whole thing could fall apart, crack, and disappear. And we're all digging beetle grubs for dinner. Have you had beetle grubs yet? I had chapulines in Oaxaca. They were delicious. The little crickets, about that big. They were great. They were so tasty. And so I am going to err on the side of optimism. Why? Because it turns out that not only are optimists happier in general, that's what the sociologists tell us, they're also more financially better off. They do better financially. Pessimists can do well financially, but usually don't. It's more difficult. It's much more difficult. Well, the pessimists will just say the optimists are not well informed. They say they're not being realists. We'll see. We'll see. So here it is, folks. The first chapter, so to speak, but really what I've done is I've sort of mixed and matched. I took the first chapter out of the book, which is actually their best chapter. They do such a good job with a brief history of risk and return. And where does it come from? Anybody read The Brief History of Time? It's actually an excellent book. I know you guys don't, you millennials don't like to read, but this is actually an excellent book. It's written by that Stephen Hawking guy, who's the guy who has ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, but he's also a super genius. And he's still alive, which is unusual because he kills most people. But Stephen Hawking, he's the head of Cambridge's science department, the same position that Sir Isaac Newton had 400 years ago. And so they stole it from him. They call it A Brief History of Risk and Return. But it is very good. And we will spend the next 4 months almost, or basically, discussing risk versus return, risk versus return. Because you can't look at an investment and just look at its return. You have to also look at its risk. They go hand in hand. They also moved what I would have put in the first chapter into chapter 3. And this is probably the worst chapter in the book. Because they go into far too much detail at the beginning of the semester. And this is where you're going to start going, huh? I don't understand. Forget it. Drop it. If you don't understand what they're saying in chapter 3, just ignore it. Make sure you understand what's in the presentation and what we do here. And then they do not really include a discussion of time horizon and short-term investments, which is at the very end of this chapter. So what I tried to do is create what I believe would be the contents of the first chapter of a good introduction to investments textbook. So if I were writing a book, which I am not, this is what I would have done. I would have turned it into this chapter one. So we'll call it chapter one, but I also call it section one. All right. And J. Kenneth Morley, I don't know who he is, but I love the quote. He says it all, folks. He says it all here. Now, I wish he would not have used the term interest. I would have used the term reward or return. But, you know, he used the word interest. In investing money, the amount of interest you want should depend upon whether you want to eat well or you want to sleep well. You understand? Do you want to eat well? Do you want to make a lot of money? Well, there's going to be nights when you're not going to be able to sleep very well. If you want to sleep well, knowing that I don't have to worry about losing money, are you going to make a lot of money? No. In fact, right now, you're going to make hardly anything. That's the world we live in right now, but it'll change. So remember this, folks. As we go through and look at all these different types of investments, you have to ask yourself, do I want to eat well or do I want to sleep well? Let us start at the very, very beginning with the question, what is an investment? And you need to memorize this, folks. You see the italics? You see the italics? That's important. That's going to be on the test. So remember that. You see italics, figure it's going to be at least one question on the test like this. Any vehicle, or sometimes people use the word instrument, into which resources can be placed with the expectation that it will generate positive income or that its value will be preserved or increased or both. Now, if you're busily trying to write this down, go right ahead. But remember, these are all on the website. And I have a link. If you don't have Putrid Point, what's it called? PowerPoint. If you don't have PowerPoint, there is a link on the website, actually two, to two different places where you can get something that will read the PowerPoint. And many of your browsers now will read PowerPoints. Then you can copy it, paste it into your word processor, turn it into notes, however you want to slice and dice it. So you don't have to busily write these down. They're all on there. So what are we looking for? We're looking for income, right? Cash flows, sometimes they're called. We're also looking that our investment's not going to go in the porcelain oasis. Right. Inodoro. We don't go down and flush down the toilet. So we want it to preserve or increased or both. And investment returns come in various different methods. We're also called, we like the word reward. We get cash flows in the form of interest, dividends. What are those? Those are payments from stocks, rent from real estate, cash flows, and we also worry about decreased as well as increased value. And when it goes up, those are capital gains, capital appreciation. Come on now, you're going to be in the 2 cents. Okay, capital gains. Yippee. All right, okay. And then what happens when we lose money? Boo, capital losses. Right. Investments come in all shapes, flavors, and sizes. So what we're going to do today, and we have another half hour, which we should be able to go through the first 14 slides, we're going to take a look at the various types from, we're flying over at 40,000 feet. Okay, you don't have to understand them. We're going to go through them in more detail as we go along. All you have to know is what will be up here. There are three basic types of investment classes. The first one is called securities, and it's a really bad name. In fact, we used to call this class, instead of introduction to investments, we used to call it investments in securities. And people would go, students would go, but I'm not an administration of justice major. Like, no, not that type of security. Securities are investments that represent debt or ownership. So I own this, come on up, or I loan this money and they're going to give it back to me. Or the legal right to acquire or sell an ownership interest. I don't understand what that means. Don't worry about it. Just make sure you can recognize it. In other words, I own something, and or I've lent my money, and I'm the debtor. I'm the person who's going to get paid back. Or I can turn around and own something or lend something. We'll discuss this in a bit. But a better term for these are financial investments. This is what I often use. Instead of using the word securities, I use the word financial investments. You've heard of the Securities and Exchange Commission? That's where the term comes from. The other major type is property. And property comes in various flavors. Real property? Now, I always thought, real, does that mean there's an imaginary property? What is the legal description for real property? It's attached to the ground, or it is the ground. Right? So when you hear real estate, they're selling something that's either land or it's attached to the land. That's why it's called real estate, because real means it's attached to the land. Personal property, such as precious metals, automobiles, arts, collectibles. So they go by various names, hard assets, tangible assets, and you can bang on them. The term you often hear people use is commodities. And you can make a lot of money in commodities, folks. And then the next day, lose it all. And so those are some of the things you'll see when they pass around these things. Make a ton of money in futures. Yeah, but the next day, you'll lose it all. And then the third type are personal investments. Education, folks, is one of the best investments a person will ever make. Why? Why is education such a good investment? You don't have to be right. Knowledge is power. That's it. I like that saying.
I just said it leads to a better job.
It often leads to a better job, which increases your income. So you understand that. There you go. An investment is something that we have a reasonable expectation to generate income. You get a better job, you're going to generate better income. So education is a very good personal investment. Questions? Now, what do we concentrate on? We concentrate on securities. In fact, we're going to spend about 6, 7, 8 weeks on stocks alone because stocks are where the action is. Whoa. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there, folks. And we get the groundwork and we just barely scratch the surface in terms of valuation and all the other kinds of stuff. Because it's so fascinating. Bonds, which are debt, boring. We do about 2-3 weeks on those. Mutual funds, we'll do 2 weeks on. Mutual funds are very important, folks. Very important. Why? As we'll see, because most of you are going to be investing in them whether you like it or not. Because, yes, you will. 401k at work, 403b at work, you're going to have mutual funds. It's just that simple. Now, we also categorize debts, whether they are primary or whether they are derivative, or sometimes called secondary. Derivatives. And now, these derivatives are the places where you can get into a lot of trouble. You can make a lot of money, you can lose a lot of money. But primary assets are classified into either debt or equity. Are you lending your money to somebody? And that's what a bond is, folks. Not James Bond, not Barry Bond. But when you lend your money to a corporation, to a state or municipality, or to the federal government, you are buying a bond. You're buying a loan, and they're going to promise to pay you back the principal, and they'll pay you interest. Short-term investments, such as savings accounts, you don't think of it that way. You just think of it as, I put my money in the bank. You're lending your money to the bank. And they promise to pay you interest. How much are they paying you now?
1/1000th of a percent.
Yeah, 1/1000th of a percent. Nothing. Poopy poopers. But, do you going to get your money back? Yeah. Equities are ownership. So that's the term you often hear people say when they say stocks. They'll say equities. But that's not the only type of equity. Partnerships, sole proprietorships, real estate investment trusts. If or when you take Business 120, you will learn about partnerships and sole proprietorships and corporations and legal structures and like that. And that's what stocks are, folks. They're just ownership in corporations. And there are various types of corporations. We're going to deal with the most well-known stocks, the better-known companies, but there are other things. Now, derivatives are where you get yourself into a lot of trouble. These are securities that derive their value from an underlying security or an asset. Wait a minute. They derive their value from something else? Yeah, that's how it works. The option, the future, and there are many others, actually get their value from something else. They are very dangerous. We don't use the word gambling in this industry. We say they are highly speculative. But when you see the word speculative, what should you put there? Everyone over in the cheap seats? Gambling. Okay. So you see the word speculative, what do you put? Gambling. Yes, we don't use that. It's an ugly word, gambling. It's speculative. Hold on to your wallet. Okay? This is all you need to know about derivatives for the first chapter. You understand? We will deal with these in detail at the end of the semester. Providing you stick around that long, you will learn how derivatives work, and you will also learn some of the toughest questions on the Series 7. because some of the toughest questions have to do with options and futures. And as a broker, if you become a broker, I hope you never sell these things to your clients. But to pass the Series 7, you've got to learn them. It's that simple. Okay, and some in the industry, myself included, do not classify derivatives as investments. Why? Because if you go back to the first slide that said an investment is any vehicle that has a reasonable expectation of generating income and holding its value or increasing, these do not have a reasonable expectation of that. They'll go up 100% in one day and down 100% the next day, which means, yeah, your $100 became $200 and then became $0. Now, is that an investment?
No, that's a speculation.
Gambling. You got it. Gambling. Okay, good. Now, we also categorize investments into whether they are direct or are they indirect. Direct investments are investments where your name is on the investment. You control how the investment, whether you buy or sell or whatever you do with it. Real estate, stocks and bonds. You can do with it whatever you wish. You can sell your 100 shares of IBM or buy more shares of McDonald's or whatever. Indirect investments, somebody else is in control of the investment. You have limited control, or more likely, no control. And that's mutual funds. Mutual funds, the mutual fund managers are investing on your behalf. You can't call the mutual fund and say, hey, I think you guys ought to buy Apple now. They'll go, thank you very much. We'll keep that under consideration. That's why they pay these people very large sums of money to decide what to buy, Apple or Google or Twitter or Facebook. Real estate investment trusts are basically the same idea as mutual funds, but instead of stocks, they're buying real estate. And then limited partnerships, which I hope maybe someday you'll get involved with, but they're not for most of us. Now, there's something that people get confused. They say, wait a minute. I was able to sell my shares of the mutual fund. Yes, you can sell your shares of the mutual fund, of the REIT, or the limited partnership, but you have no control over what they invest. You're just buying into the system, and then they invest on your behalf. Does that make sense? Yeah. Am I losing you? Just go like this. Yeah, you don't have any control. I mean, in a limited partnership, they may ask for your opinion. Usually not. They usually just say, I'm the general partner, or we're the general partners. We'll take care of it. We'll buy the... And limited partnerships have to do with real estate and also gas and oil and cattle and those kind of things where they need somebody in control what's going on. But do you know how to buy and sell cattle? Do you? I don't know. I stay away from cows. I don't know about you. Okay. Now, another type of investment, another characteristic are where they are based. Are they domestic? Are they... international, which is another term you might hear, is foreign. And or are they global? Now, this is tricky. You must learn this, by the way. Domestic investments are based inside the United States. International, also known as foreign, are companies that are based outside the United States. And global is todo el mundo, right? It's all the world. So you've got to be careful of this subtle distinction. Somebody will use the term global, and somebody will use the term the international, say, well, isn't that the same thing? No. International means it's based outside the United States. But it used to be that this distinction was important. It's still important, but not as much as it used to be. It used to be very... Excuse me, that's mine, by the way. I apologize. It's on vibrate. Shut up. I turned it on vibrate. Okay, it's not as important as it used to be, it turns out, and we'll discuss why later on. But I love this quote. The world is a very small place these days economically. 65% by value of the parts in the Ford Mustang come from the United States and Canada. 90% of the parts in the Toyota Sienna, which is built in Indiana, by the way, come from the U.S. and Canada. Which one's the more American car? I mean, how can you get more American than a Ford Mustang? Buy a Toyota Sienna. You figured that? You figured that one out? You understand? No. Doesn't impress you? Oh, well. We'll see. I'm going to try to impress you. Look at all these companies. Now, you know all these companies, right? Yes. Which ones of these are foreign? Which ones are domestic? Just off the bat, which one do you think are foreign? Which one do you think are domestic? We're going to go through each one. What? Which one's foreign?
Budweiser.
Budweiser. Mother Bud? Yeah, Budweiser's foreign. Yeah, who owns them? Belgium Brazilian conglomerate called InBev. But now they call themselves Anheuser-Busch InBev. Anheuser-Busch InBev. So they kept the name. But it's figured that one out. Belgian Brazilian. How'd they get together? The Belgians are they're French. You know, they're very French. How about Shell Oil? That's here. Houston, right? No, it's foreign. The real name of Shell, the real name for Shell is Royal Dutch Petroleum. It's a company that's been around for I don't know how many hundred years, and it's based in the UK and Netherlands. It's a Royal Dutch, but of course they've been called a company which is a country unto itself. They basically own Nigeria. They own Nigeria. Figure that one out. How about Ben and Jerry's? You like the Chunky Monkey? Chunky Monkey and Terry Garcia? No, it's foreign. They got bought by the same company that owns Breyers Ice Cream. Breyers Ice Cream is also foreign. Yeah, it's foreign. How about Farmers Insurance? Based in Los Angeles. No, they're foreign. They're owned by Scudder, which is now owned by ING, which is not ING. Who is it? No, I forget. Not AIG. That's the United States. I forget the name. They're in Switzerland. How about ARCO? AMPN. Foreign? Yeah, they're owned by British Petroleum. How about Gerber? The Gerber baby. No, it's foreign. How about Carnation? It's foreign. How about Compassu? It's fine. How about Fox and Fox Network? Wave the flag. You can't get more American than Fox, because if you don't believe what Fox News believes, then you're definitely a terrorist, forest, communist, liberal faggot. They're foreign. They're based in Australia. How about Seagram's? Seagram, Canada. How about Bayer Aspirin? Germany. Vaseline? UK. Friskies? France. Motel 6? France. 7-Eleven? This is a very, if you guys are interested in business, 7-Eleven started in Dallas, I think it was, or somewhere in the Fort Worth, as Southland Corporation. And then they went global, and they spun off their companies. And the one company they spun off was Japan, 7-Eleven Japan. And in Japan, 7-Eleven exploded, because the Japanese love little stores. You go to a Japanese 7-Eleven, you can buy anything. You can buy the best food in the world. It's a 7-Eleven. And so Japan 7-Eleven turned around and bought the United States 7-Eleven. And now you go into 7-Eleven, the food is, it's a whole lot better than it used to be. It is. I'm not saying it's haute cuisine, but you go into a 7-Eleven now and you get all this fresh food. And they've got rolling hamburgers. I forget how they wanted to sell hamburgers. But everything has to roll. So they turned the hamburger into what looks like a hot dog. A little fun. But it's a hamburger. And it's actually, it's not bad if you like burgers. Okay, so 7-Eleven's foreign. Volvo and Saab, right? Volvo and Saab. No, they're domestic. Well, not anymore, actually. For many years. I did. Volvo, for many years, was owned by Ford, and Saab was owned by GM until the great catastrophe of 2008, and Ford sold off Volvo to a Chinese company, and Saab was bought by a company that's about 1/30th the size called Stryker or something like that, based in the Netherlands, I think. That's a little, they do hot rod cars and that kind of thing. So Saab, I don't think Saab's going to stick around, but Volvo will probably stick around. How about, I love this, this is the best, Land Rover and Jaguar.
Are they UK?
And not anymore.
No, they're Indian, right?
Yeah, they were bought by the United States company. They were owned by Ford for a while. But now an Indian company called Tata Motors. I kid you not, folks. They make the Nano, the $2,500 car that will never be sold in the United States. But it's a $2,500 car that you can buy in India and other parts of Southeast Asia. And they bought Jaguar and Land Rover. And think about the irony, folks. For hundreds of years, the British Empire ruled India. How many hundred years? But it's a couple hundred years. And now an Indian company buys iconic brands. Who owns Rolls-Royce, by the way? It used to be Volkswagen, I think. I don't think so anymore. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I forget. So the world now. Does this scare you? Does this make you Sam Furners? Does it?
Nope.
To me, it's great. Because do you want to bomb your companies and your other companies? Is Abraham Lincoln? Is it? Don't I destroy an enemy by making him my friend? You understand? So we're all intercollected. We don't want to bomb one another. Doesn't mean won't. Okay. So here they are, folks. Here are the 18 companies with the largest per capita income, industrialized countries. Australia through the UK. Which country had the best average annual return over the past 40 years? Which country?
Canada.
You don't have to be right. Just call one out.
Japan.
USA.
USA.
It turns out it was Sweden. Sweden! Denmark. Canada's down here. Switzerland. Do you realize that they have socialized medicine? And gun control? They are commies. No, they've done beating the United States. But hey, we're no slouches. 9.8%? That's not bad. Would you be happy with that? Mm-hmm. I'd be happy with that. Yes, sir.
I'm going to second that. Which company has the best average annual return? What do you mean by country has the best annual average?
Their stock market. Their stock market. Which stock market did the best every year over the last 20, 30, 40 years?
Okay.
And it turns out it's not the United States. We're no slouches, folks. Don't get me wrong. 9.8%. And we're going to find that this is actually, the news is even better than this. But what happened with Japan, Italy, Spain? What's going on here? Japan. Come on. Japan makes some of the most sophisticated cars and equipment in the world. Population. What's going on in Japan, in Italy, in Spain? They're getting older and they're not having as many kids. You go to Italy, Japan. Well, Japan is strange. They're also very strange. It's a very homogeneous society. They look at foreigners very differently. What do we do with? Well, we love them and we hate them. We love them, we hate them. You look in here, you see all different colors, and you know, you go in Japan. No, they're all Japanese. but they will pay the Japanese women to have babies. The Italians will pay the Italian women, have a baby. Come on, we'll pay you. Because it's very difficult to grow an economy when your population not only is getting older, but is also shrinking. You understand? So that's what's going on. And the Japanese, over the last 40 years, have been exporting their jobs. They've been moving their plants overseas because they don't have enough people to handle what's being consumed and produced in Japan. It's so strange. I mean, I went to Mexico several times over the last few years, and I just go everywhere and look, where's this built? Where's this made? Where's that made? You could buy Fords, Chevys, and Dodges, all built in Mexico. And Toyotas, Hondas, and BMWs built in the United States. Now figure that one out, right? Knoxer! It's the sound of jobs being sucked into Mexico. No, it's the other way around. They're buying our stuff. But now Honda and Toyota have built plants down in Mexico, so now they're selling them there. But in last, I told some of you, so you remember this, but last summer, thank you very much, I took a great 2-week vacation. I had so much fun. I flew from TJ down to Mazatlan, took a bus to Puerto Vallarta, took the bus to Guadalajara, took the bus to Morelia, Ciudad de Mexico, then Cuernavaca, and then back to Mexico City, and then flew back to TJ. And when I left, when I crossed the border, I had my trusty little mobile device, and every time I saw an American brand or an American company, I wrote it down. And I didn't go searching for these folks, it's just when I saw them. I didn't go into a grocery store, I didn't go into a pharmacy and look for everyone. I was there not quite 2 weeks. How many American brands do you think I saw? 1,000. 100. 200. Well, you guys are a lot closer. Usually people say about 20. 385. And I didn't even count all the Disney characters and all the Star Wars and the sports teams. I didn't even count those T-shirts and everything like that. It would have been a whole lot more. So the world is global. Hopefully for the good. So now, how are we doing for time? Yes?
I think Rolls-Royce
is acquired by BMW. Oh, BMW owns it now. Not VW. Okay, good. That makes more sense, doesn't it? Why would VMW? All right, now. Also, how are we doing for time? Not bad. We have to categorize an investment on whether it is short-term, intermediate-term, or long-term. And whenever you make an investment, you first must ask, what's my time horizon? Because there are some investments that are awesome investments if you have 5, 10, 20 years. But if you need this money in 3 months, don't put it here. All right, we'll see that. Okay, whether an investment is liquid or whether an investment is illiquid. Illiquid. And does that mean how much beer we have for the weekend? No. It means whether or not we're able to easily convert it into cash. Most of the investments that we will discuss in this class are very liquid. Somebody wants your 100 shares of, you know, whatever, of a good company, such as, think of a good company, Google. Somebody wants your 100 shares of Google. Coca-Cola. But some investments are liquid, and the poster child for this is real estate. You just can't sell a house in 3 days. It doesn't happen. It takes 3 months, 6 months, sometimes longer. Now, risk versus return. Risk versus return. We will discuss this in detail next Thursday we'll do overview of investments. But of course, it's all up there, so you can go ahead if you want. When people use the term risk, they often think of the possibility of suffering harm or loss. Doesn't that make sense? Risk, something danger. But that's not how we measure it, and that's not what we talk about when we talk about financial investments. We often use a very different measurement, which we'll take a look at, which is not perfect. There are other measures, and they're not very good either. But in general, these are my guidelines. Low risk is 3 to 5%, moderate 5 to 8, high 8 to 12. And I don't even use the term, I usually say 8 to 10, that's good enough. Anything greater than 11, 12% and you're into the speculative world. There are other guidelines, there are some people who will raise these numbers a little higher. It's up to you how you interpret them, but this is mine and you can use it or look at what the book says. Speculation is not often considered investing. I certainly do not consider it investment. So now, there's your study guide for tonight and tomorrow night. And on Thursday, you don't want to miss Thursday now, because we're going to go through the major asset classes and maybe even start a little bit of risk versus return. But before we let you go, we want to now take a look at some examples. These are examples of different types of investments. A Bank of America passbook savings account. Does anybody actually use that term, passbook, anymore? I've noticed some people show me, oh yeah, they still give me a passbook. It looks like a little passport. And they would stamp it, but now it's all electronic. Most credit unions certainly don't do this. So Bank of America passbook savings account. Is that a security or a property? It's a security, right? It's a financial investment. You are lending your money to the Bank of America. So I just I just answered the second question. Is it debt or equity?
Equity.
No, it's debt.
Really?
Yeah, because you're lending your money to Bank of America. Now, don't worry. You understand? They're not going to run away with it. I don't know about Bank of Armenia. I don't know about you folks. But it's up to you. It's debt. You own the debt. It's a debt that they have incurred. They have to pay you interest, and they have to pay you the money back. Is it direct or indirect?
Direct.
Your name is on the passbook. Your name is on the savings account. Is it domestic or foreign?
Domestic.
Yeah, Bank of America is still based in the United States. Probably won't be bought by some foreign entity. Short term, intermediate term, or long term? It depends, but I would call it short term. Some people put, you know, $100,000 in the bank for the long term. These are people who have not taken business 123. Okay, that's not where your long term money should go. It shouldn't go in the bank. The banker is licking his or her chops. When you grow up, you want to be a bank. Trust me. Okay, is it low, moderate, or high risk? Very low. In fact, it is guaranteed by the United States government. Liquid or illiquid? They'll give it to you the very same day. Sometimes they might say, come back tomorrow, but no. Nestle's Foods. Nestle's, N-E-S-T-L-E-S, you don't remember that. World's largest food company. Security or property? Security. It's a corporation. You're investing. It's not a hard asset. It's a company. You're buying a stock. Okay. Debt or equity? Ownership, right. You're owning. You're buying a piece of Nestle. Is it direct or indirect? Direct. Your name's on the brokerage account. Domestic or foreign? Yeah, it's based in Switzerland. But again, it's another one of those country companies which is a country unto itself. Short-term, intermediate-term, or long-term? Well, mostly when we buy a stock, we consider it long-term. But Nestle is so well-capitalized, which is a fancy word for saying it's huge, that we could consider it an intermediate-term investment. But in general, when we buy stocks, they're long-term. Low, moderate, or high risk? Again, when we look at a stock, we usually say high risk, but Nestle, we could put them in the moderate world. Liquid or illiquid? Very liquid. Somebody wants to buy your shares of Nestle. Now, what about Southwestern College Propositions AA and R bonds? What? Do you see us building the stadium out there? Did we hold a bake sale to make that money? Did they take it out of my salary? A little bit, yeah. No. What they did is they made loans. They sold these loans to the investment community, and the investors said, okay, we'll buy your debt. We own it now. And you're going to pay us interest, and you will pay us back that money in 30 years. Yes? I don't know if it's going to be renamed. No, it probably won't be renamed. It'll probably stay Mr. He. I think he's still alive, actually. He was the first superintendent. What's his name? I forget his name. Chester. Chet DeVore, yeah. I met him just a couple of times. My understanding is he wasn't a very nice guy. So is it debt or equity? It's debt. You are lending your money. Direct or indirect? Your name's on the bond. Domestic or foreign? I know some people call it Tijuana Tech. But there is a Tecnológico Instituto de México. Okay? Short-term, intermediate-term, or long-term? Intermediate to long-term, that's bonds. Low, moderate, or high? Low. Low. It's Southwest. Liquid or illiquid? They're fairly liquid. Somebody will buy your bonds. Okay, now what about a duplex? I'm going to take you a couple minutes. I hope you don't mind. Duplex in Spring Valley? Yeah, that's property. That's right. Real estate. You're going to get a loan with it, but no, it's equity. You own it. Direct or indirect? Your name's on the title down to county admin building.
Domestic,
yeah.
Long-term
real estate. Right now, I would not consider it high risk because real estate is still reasonably priced. A lot of it depends on your income and, you know, your system. And then liquid or illiquid? Yes, real estate is the poster child for illiquid. It takes you 3, 6, 9 months to sell real estate. What? Oh, what a joke. Qualcomm. What is that? Stadium, right? Yeah, it's a stadium. But yeah. Security or property? Is it debt or equity? Equity. It's a stock. You own it. Direct or indirect?
Direct.
Domestic or foreign? It's based in San Diego, but they make more of their money outside the United States. It's still based here, but they make more money outside the United States. You see, that's why these... Yeah. Okay, short-term, intermediate-term, or long-term? Stocks, normally long-term. Low, moderate, or high risk? Moderate to high. Telecommunications world, they're very well ensconced, but who knows what might come out tomorrow. And then liquid or illiquid?
Liquid.
Very liquid. Somebody wants to buy your 100 shares of Qualcomm. Now, what about loan to Uncle Harry? Yeah, everybody has a Tio Lucas, right, in their family. Big jerk. Is it security or property? It's security. It's a loan. Is it debt or equity? Debt. Is it direct or indirect? It's direct. You're stuck with it. Is it domestic or foreign? Until he sends you a postcard from wherever, Guatemala. Is it short-term, intermediate, long-term, or infinite? Infinity. Low, moderate, or high? Liquid or illiquid? No, nobody's going to buy your uncle. No, you did it. You got the hot potato. So, is this that difficult, folks? So you're going to review these notes, and then on Thursday, we will fly in a little closer at our world of investments. Those of you who want to add, come on up, and we'll give you the ad codes.